Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1. As Brother Jerry says, that'll be our jumping off place this morning. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Now, of course, here we're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, notice that doesn't say He is purging, or He will purge, but He has purged. He has purged our sin. And in Galatians 3:13 it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And our Lord said on John 19:30, it is finished. Though we are sinners, sin was never charged to us personally, because we've been under the suretyship of our Lord Jesus Christ from everlasting. The surety, Hebrews 7:22, of so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. All our sins have been and were discharged by Him. All our sins were charged to our Lord Jesus Christ, being the surety of the testament, of the New Testament, and He put those sins away. Now, sin, no matter what, is infinite, because it is against an infinitely good and holy and just and pure God. Amen. Against, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So sin, in any amount, in any whatever, you know, we talk about white lies, black lies, and this and that. Well, it's all sin. He that has offended the law of God in one point is guilty of all. So sin is sin. And it's all punishable by death. And the only way that sin can be put away or made an end of is by infinite suffering. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. As surety of the New Testament, those who have interest in that New Testament or in the covenant of grace, those folks, their sins were charged to the surety of the everlasting covenant. And in His sufferings and death on the cross, He put those sins away. He made an end of those sins. Those sins can never, ever, not ever, no, never, be charged to us. Not at the judgment, not before the judgment, not after the judgment. Mm-mm. They can never be charged. Their sins, I will be merciful to their iniquities and their... I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's God's promise to each and every believer. Well, we know that we're believers because God has made us believers. He put His Spirit in us. It's the Spirit of life, Spirit of faith. It is the Spirit of the Son. It is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Ghost. And He dwells within us. And the fruit of the Spirit is faith. We believe God. We're the children of Abraham and of the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are those children. We are God's elect. Now, in John 17, well, let's turn on over now to in the book of Hebrews. Turn over to chapter 2. Verse 10. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Now, the thought there in the word bringing is have brought. The Lord has brought us. It's a finished work. It is finished. The glory that Thou hast given me, I have given them. We are the sons of God. We are a royal priesthood. We are priests of God. And as Brother Jerry talked about the privilege of prayer, we have the privilege of entering into the presence of God at any time and approach Him on behalf of the desires of our heart. Things that trouble us. For it became Him. Now, look at, I think it's in 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Well, we know how we obtained it. It's the gift of God. Like precious faith with us, and thus, and us is there defined. It's everyone who has obtained that like precious faith. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about believers. He's talking about the children of God and the children of the covenant. Who have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, God did not give this to us in a way that was unbecoming of His holiness, righteousness, and truth. He gave it to us in a way that becomes, that is becoming of Himself, that in a way that is becoming of His holiness, righteousness, and truth. He gave it to us in a way whereby we have a right. We have a right in receiving, and He has a right in giving. And what is that right? It is the perfect righteousness that is established by our Lord Jesus Christ for those for whom He died.
Amen.
It is right. It's only right that God should give us all the precious things that are given us in the covenant of grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It became Him. It was becoming Him. It was like Him. It was as He operates to do righteously. He gave these precious things to us, as precious as they are, and as undeserving as we are in ourselves. Yet He gave those things to us righteously. All right, back to Hebrews 2. 10. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, He is the first cause and last end of all things. He said, I am the first and the last. In bringing many sons to glory, He stood as a lamb, as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. When the purpose was established in the mind of God, it was as good as done. It was virtually done when God purposed to do it. But in time, Christ actually had to be born of a virgin, brought into this world, suffer, and die for His people. Pay all their sin debt, put their sin away. In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvations perfect, make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. That debt had to be paid, and it was on Him to pay it. He's the surety of the everlasting covenant, and He was perfected in His office. He fulfilled that office of the surety, mediator, substitutionary, by His substitutionary and vicarious death. In His death, He fulfilled all our obligations toward God that day at Calvary, when He suffered infinitely under the hand of God, when God poured out His unmitigated wrath upon His own Son. And who was it that was on that cross? It was God, the Son. Look, turn over to Hebrews 9:5. Hebrews 9:5. It's Romans 9:5. I'm sorry. I get my books mixed up sometimes. Romans 9:5. He said, overall, God bless forever. Amen. That's who was on that cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, died. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from His sins. In Acts 20:28, it talks about whom God who shed His blood, who purchased His church with His own blood. Let me turn over and read that. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. He suffered infinitely. Only He could suffer infinitely. In 3 hours, He paid all of the sin debt of all of the elect of all ages on that cross. He justified us by His blood, and therefore we have a right to the tree of life by His shed blood. We won't have to hide behind the curtain in glory.
Amen.
Because we're the children of God. All right, they are not of the world, even as I'm not. All right, back to Hebrews 2. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now our Lord Jesus Christ is the head over all things to the church. He's the head of the election of grace. Behold, mine elect. Behold, my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He is the head over all things to the church. He is first. He has the preeminence in all things. He is the elect of God, and we are chosen in our Lord Jesus Christ. He that sanctifieth our Lord Jesus Christ, and all they who are sanctified, all his elect, are of God. They are of the election. They are not of the world, our Lord said, even as I am not of the world. And he repeated that. He said it in verse 14 and verse 16. He said it there in those verses twice. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, what are we of? We're of the election of grace. Look back at Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. And let's go by and read verse 5 while we're on our way down here at verse 11. Whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. That's the head of the election of grace. That is our elder brother. That is he with whom we are one, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in him and he is in us. Now look down at verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said in her, the elder shall serve the younger. We are of the number of the elect. We are of the same human nature. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh. We are one in that respect, but we are one in election. We're chosen in Him. We're not of this world. This world is not of the election, but we are. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Well, why do you believe? Who maketh thee to differ one from another? And what do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as though you received it not? 1 Corinthians 4:7. This world glories in their freedom of will. But the Lord came to deliver captives. So evidently he didn't come to deliver them. He came to open the prison house and to set the captives free. And those who are never captives, those who have never known the power of sin, haven't known Him yet. Maybe they will. We hope they will sometime. But as one old preacher said, you got to be lost before you can be found. And He came to save that which was lost. Amen. All right. Unto you therefore he is precious, unto the Lord, unto us the Lord Jesus Christ is precious, but unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Aren't you thankful that you can believe? Simple as it is, we believe. Galatians, simple as it is for us, it's in us, but it's not in the world. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 6 and 7. Listen, look at these words. Even as Abraham believed God. That was Abraham's distinguishing mark. He believed God. Yeah. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, or those who believe God, as did Abraham, those who are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. All right, let's go back to Hebrews. For both he that sanctifieth and all they who are sanctified are all of one. We're all of one election, of one nation. We're all of God. Because he chose us in Christ. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee. Now that was those utterances were from the cross. Even there, our Lord Jesus Christ thought of what he was doing in his offices and who he was suffering for. I will sing in the midst of the church, will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. That is another cross utterance. And again, this is from Isaiah. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Well, when were we given? Well, we were given when we were sanctified. Jude 1, let me just read that for you. Jude 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. In other words, those who are set apart for himself. God has set his people, his elect, those whom he loves, he has set them apart for himself, for his use, for his glory. And he is glorified in our salvation. You know, this world is of the opinion that salvation is, well, it may be or it may not be. That's not true. Our Lord Jesus Christ, his sufferings and death were an absolute success. He absolutely saved everyone in his death that he intended to save. And who he intended to save were the children of the covenant, or the same as the children of God, and they are identified by faith. They believe God. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them which are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved. Now, any of you ladies ever have any jam to go bad or whatever goes bad, crowd or whatever? Well, you put it in a jar, but it didn't get preserved. Well, we are the elect, are preserved in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolutely impossible that anyone for whom he died shall ever be condemned, because he was condemned in our place. They are preserved in Jesus. Well, how long? from the time they were given unto everlasting. And preserved in Jesus Christ, and last of all, he let them know about it. He called them. He taught them by the preaching of the gospel. He taught them that they were children of God. And they were enabled to believe that. He gave them faith. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Well, now, they were given before the foundation of the world. And they were preserved in Jesus Christ from everlasting and to everlasting, and for as much as the children were made partakers of flesh and blood. God knew us in the covenant of grace from eternity past, and then later on we were made partakers of flesh and blood. We were children. We were made partakers of flesh and blood. And later on we were called. But forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood like us. Not of the sin nature that we partake of, because we are sons and daughters of Adam. He is the Son of God. He took his humanity from Mary. He became one with us, and the Word was made flesh. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, we are not afraid of eternal ruin and eternal death. We are not afraid of everlasting punishment or spending eternity in everlasting burnings, because we suffered infinitely in our Lord Jesus Christ, and our debt to God's holiness and justice is perfectly paid. In our surety. So as far as the church is concerned, he destroyed Satan's power. Satan has no power to condemn us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh and not after the Spirit. That is, we don't try to justify ourselves, because we know that we're justified by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That transaction between God the Father and God the Son can never be undone. That blood was shed at Calvary, which is the justification of everyone that believeth. Verse 13 again. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, forasmuch then as the children were made partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Now, he came into this world to destroy Satan. He put him out of business by destroying his power over the children of God. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We are not in bondage. We're not in bondage to a defiled conscience. Our sins are gone. When we believe, well, our sins have put away. We understand that and know that, and our conscience is cleared when God teaches us the gospel. It's already happened. Happened to Calvary. It's already done. We just find out about it later on. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him, he took hold on the seed of Abraham. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he did not take on Him by taking into union with His person the nature of angels. He didn't become an angel. He became a man. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, Dr. Owen says that this may be the reason that Satan rebelled, was when he found out that the nature of angels was not to be exalted to the throne of God, but the nature of men, the two rational sets of creatures that God created. Of course, that's his take on it. We don't have any scripture for that whatsoever, but I just put that out there. I mean, he put it in his book. I've repeated it just as that. It's just his thought. But it is plausible. It's also plausible that might have been the reason that the earth was without form and void. In Satan's rebellion, the old creation that was made a wreck. And it doesn't appear to me that God, in His perfections, would create something that was without form and void, a mixture, a mud pie. The water wasn't separated from the earth. That was part of the creation, of the restoration of creation, if that's what it was, that He separated the waters. So we can be thankful that the work is done. It's finished. It's finished. Our place in glory. Look at 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Well, herein is our love made perfect. Now, if we did not have perfect confidence, if we were not assured, if we did not know that we were holy and righteous and unreprovable and unrebukable in His sight, we couldn't have perfect trust in Him. If our salvation hung in question, well, if I can hold out faithful to the end, or can I be good enough? Well, we know we can't. We know we can't. We're flesh. We're sinners. We have sin in this flesh. But we know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are perfect. We are as He is in this world right now. Now, we can no more be condemned right now than our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, your neighbors can talk about you. Why, it's a bunch of old Calvinists up there. I wouldn't have what they believe. You mean to tell me you think God chose some and left others unchosen? Yeah, that's what we believe. Why, nobody I know would have that. Well, I don't care what they'd have. This is the Lord's work, not ours. And we can no more be condemned than Him, than He can, in whom we are at this very moment.